from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you, David, and I'm so glad you're listening in to the weekend edition of our program. Life Change Today comes to you from DPM Ministries here in Delray Beach, Florida, a very beautiful place that we live at, just 6 miles from the ocean. And it's been a wonderful spring and summertime here, and fall has been beautiful here. We just thank the Lord for the goodness of God. On Saturdays, as you know, on these weekend programs, we are able to bring you various topics from various people. I don't do the speaking on the Saturday. I always bring in guests. Sometimes we have somebody who's authored a wonderful book. Sometimes somebody who's recently come to Christ. And also, we have dealt with some of the major topics of the day, and we're so glad to have a regular on with us today, my good friend, Pastor Bob Kadlisek. Pastor Bob pastors there in the Montrose, Pennsylvania area, several locations of their church. Wonderful ministry that God has raised up there. I know a number of people attend the church that he is involved with, as well as others in that area who are so blessed by that ministry. You may be listening in Africa today. Thank you for listening in. You may be listening somewhere else in the United States. We're glad that you're listening in. And today the title is, What is God's Plan for the Transgendered? Now, I think that's probably got you so you want to listen this entire program, and I think it's going to be a blessing to us. And Pastor Bob, how have you been doing?
I have been good. You know, I was thinking it's not as beautiful here as it is in Delray, Florida, but I take that back. 3 months out of the year, it's just beautiful here. In Montrose, Pennsylvania.
Well, I am rubbing it in just a bit with you when I mentioned that. I used to live up there, of course, as you know, Pastor, and I remember I got to the point where I loved the first snowfall, and then I wanted it gone for the year. And of course, that's not the way it is up there. Well, let's get into this topic. I think this is a very appropriate topic about what's happening today. How do we get here? Our society has become obsessed with labeling people in all sorts of different ways. It seems like there has been an explosion of different identities, transgendered being just one. So what, in your view, Pastor, is going on?
Well, one of the most foundational questions in life, I think, is who's in charge? So if the God of the Bible is in charge, then he decides what's right and wrong, what's true, what's false. And our society rejected that and has embraced an individualistic God. So I'm God, and I get to decide right, wrong, true, false. And there's two problems with that. First, I'm not God. And then second, there are over 8 billion other people running around. And if each of them also gets to decide right and wrong, there's chaos and conflict. And I think that's the world we're living in now. The truth is, what you believe about who you are and who God is are perhaps the two most important things about you. Because if I believe that I'm a constant problem, I never do anything right, that's going to greatly influence my life. And if you believe you're God's gift to humanity and smarter and better than everyone else, that will also greatly influence your life. And as we talk today, I do want to say at the beginning, this program, I would say it might be rated PG. Most of our programs, maybe all of them, are G. But if you have children listening with you, this will probably require some follow-up conversations. We're going to be talking about some subjects of a sexual nature and appropriate clinical terms. But back to transgender, I think we're here because people are their own gods. They're deciding what's right and wrong, and they're defining themselves. And they're finding that identity in many things. Historically, people find their identity in their roles, like what they do. I'm a father, husband, mechanic. Sometimes people find their identity in their family or country. I'm a Katlicic, I'm Slovak, I'm American. But our culture increasingly tells us to find our identity in our desires, in what we want. And this is a new concept, and it's a terrible one. Who are you? Well, I'm an alcoholic. I'm defining myself by my desire to drink too much. Or I'm a heterosexual, or I'm a homosexual. I'm defining myself by my sexual desires. And that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. As you're talking today, I was thinking back in my own life, back years ago in the late 50s and early 60s, Pastor, that I remember walking into church one day when I was a new student at Practical Bible Training School. And one of the members came to me and said, "Do you know what secular humanism is?" Well, I had heard about it, but really wasn't into it. And he said to me, asking me the biggest problem in our decade. And it seems to me like ever since I heard of that, and of course, secular humanism became very much a prevalent philosophy, it seems like every maybe decade and now maybe every few years is like a whole new way of identifying things. So let's get at it here. I think in a historical perspective, for somebody who's lived a long time, you can see this kind of thing happening. And then normally what is said, well, I never thought it would get this bad. So why is this such a bad thing? And what is wrong with describing ourselves by our desires?
Well, first, it's bad because my desires and feelings are fundamentally unstable. They not only change, but they're often contradictory. So if I'm to be true to myself, which self is that? You know, when I go to the grocery store, checkout aisle, one side there's magazines with food spreads, 10 best ways to eat chocolate. The other side there's magazines about with healthy, muscular people and titles like six-pack abs in 6 minutes. And my desire is to be both, right? I want to have both. My heart is full of conflicting desires. I want to eat everything and look fabulous. I want to be generous, but keep, spend, and have. I want to be like Jesus, but, you know, it'd be nice to be like that guy over there because his life looks a whole lot easier and more fun. So this idea of describing ourselves by our desires, there's a lot of mantras or mottos in our society. Like one of the oldest ones is to thine own self be true. And most people don't know where that comes from. There's another preacher, John Michael Comer, he's written some books and pointed this out, that to thine own self be true comes from a line from Polonius in Shakespeare's play Hamlet. Now, if you've never read Hamlet or you haven't read it since high school like me, you can look up Polonius on Wikipedia and it says this, quote, "Polonius is the chief counselor of the play's ultimate villain, Claudius. Polonius is generally regarded as wrong in every judgment he makes over the course of the play." And so this character is wrong. He's the fool of the story. And so when he uttered this line in the play, "To thine own self be true," the crowd would have laughed and said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of." For centuries, everyone knew being true to yourself and following your own desires was a path to depression, misery, and hurt, not only in your life, but in the lives of others around you. But today, our society has embraced the fool and expressed this idea in numerous ways. Follow your heart. You do you. You can be whatever you want to be. But our culture says if you don't follow your desires, you're sinning. Any internal attempt to stop yourself from pursuing your desires is called repression. And any external force or person who attempts to rein in my desires is called oppression. So sinful desires have been labeled as virtues, and the virtue of self-discipline has been labeled as morally wrong, repression. Because if my physical animalistic desires are the ultimate good, to thine own self be true, then any disciplining of them is the ultimate evil, which means that Bible and our culture have opposite definitions of freedom and slavery. The Bible is about freedom from enslavement to our desires, freedom from the enslavement and control of other people. But our culture believes in freedom to do whatever I want, whenever and with whoever I want. And so we're faced with this choice. We can choose freedom from destroying ourselves or freedom to destroy ourselves and others around us.
Yeah, that's really well said, Pastor. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron, your host, chatting with you today. And this comes to you from our ministry here in Delray Beach, Florida. I'm chatting today with our good friend, Pastor Bob Kadlecic, from the Bridgewater Ministries there in Montrose, Pennsylvania. And we're talking about the issue of transgender. We're talking about some background here. What you just described is a little, really kind of a pretty ugly picture. So what does the Bible say? And what does our identity lie about? And if my desires don't determine who I am, then what does?
Well, the Bible has a lot of good news. And one of those good news is other people don't define who you are. Most, if not all of us, have had others tell us who we are. You're stupid. You're weird. You're gay. You're a mistake. You're a nobody. You're a failure. And you'll always be a failure, just like your father. And the good news of the Bible is other people don't get to define who you are. Your identity is not determined by what you're told. They don't have that kind of power. But there's some other good news that some people don't want to hear, and that's that your identity is also not determined by who you want to be either. You are, I am, who God says we are. And that may be hard to hear, but it's so much more solid and certain than changing desires, fickle opinions of those around you or those inside me. Now, if you are not a follower of Jesus, the Bible doesn't have good things to say about who you are. You're lost, under judgment, blind. But if you give your life to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior, he has amazing, wonderful things to say about you. You're forgiven, 1 John 1:9, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says we are the righteousness of God. Ephesians 2:10 says you're God's handiwork or masterpiece. 1 Peter 2:9 says you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Your identity is determined by God and God alone, and that's really good news.
Yeah, that is good news. So, but there's an obvious question here, Pastor. I know that comes up in our minds. If God only determines who I am, does that mean that God made some people transgendered? People will say, I don't choose to be this way, so God has somehow made me like this. Is that true?
No, it's not true. This actually affects a lot of things, and I would call it a false dichotomy. Sometimes people think there's only two answers to something. God made me this way, or I chose to be this way. And in reality, it's kind of like false dichotomies are things like you can only vote for two people in the election. Well, the Democrat or the Republican. Well, that's not true. You can vote for no one, or you can vote for an independent, or, you know, a coin. You can only put a coin face up or face down. That's not true. You can put it on its side. And so there is more than just those two options. I didn't choose it, so God must have chosen it for me. Back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, Adam and Eve sin, and they disobey God. And that sin breaks them physically because now we die. It broke us spiritually because now we needed Jesus Christ to die for us, to help fix us spiritually. But it also broke human beings psychologically and mentally. Genesis 3:7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Why don't animals care that they're naked? Because they can't sin. They just do what they're designed for. For a cat, that means sleeping 18 hours a day and killing cute little baby bunnies. You know, that's not sin for a cat, because that's what it was made to do. But sin broke us psychologically and mentally, so that we have shame. And so, you know, I know people don't wake up one morning and choose to be anorexic, right? Anorexia is a distorted view of yourself. People who are anorexic, they look at themselves and they say, I'm fat, when they're not fat. They might be too skinny, or they might be just beautiful, but they have this distorted view of themselves. God didn't make them that way. They didn't choose to be that way, but sin broke us psychologically and mentally, as well as physically and spiritually. And so when it comes to people who identify as trans, I just want them to hear, we are the same. Our society wants to put walls between us and say we're different, but we're not. We're all human. We're made in the image of God. You are in God's image, and we're all sinners, broken spiritually, physically, and psychologically. And so just because you feel like you're a certain way doesn't mean that you are, because we all have feelings that aren't true. I got feelings about myself. I wish I was taller. I wish I was a lot of different things, but I am who God made me to be. You know, another false dichotomy that is used to try to blackmail parents into hurting and confusing their children is this. They say, do you want a trans kid or do you want a dead kid? Are those really the only options? I mean, what if someone said to you, do you want an anorexic child or a dead child? Because the truth is, many scientific studies that show this about trans, although they've been suppressed, like that encouraging someone down that road of making them believe that they can actually change their gender or their biological sex often leads actually to more suicide, more depression, more death, more hurt and pain. What if the Bible is right? What if a child is less likely to take their life if their trans identity is not encouraged by those around them who love them? And what if truth and grace are not opposites, but actually they need each other? And what if we can be loving and truthful at the same time? I think our society is saying that, no, those things are opposite. And so, yeah, God did not make someone transgendered. You didn't choose it either. It's just a result of the brokenness that all of us experience from sin.
Yeah, I was thinking as you're talking there, Pastor, about the recent passing of Pastor Tim Keller. I don't know if you knew him or not. He was a wonderful man of God out of New York City. But I've read several articles talking about how his life was truth and grace and love wrapped all together. And many times people who really disagree with him and he with them were speaking very highly of how he dealt with them in life. And that's a challenge, I think, to all of us as Christians. I know pastors, that's a challenge to pastors. We like to be right. We like everybody to think how correct we are. And our theology is all very accurate and right where it should be. And when the fact of the matter is, there are many hurting people, which in that issue is much greater. So I appreciate how you shared that. So what would you say to someone who identifies as trans and says, but you don't understand, I'm just not like you. You don't know how hard it is.
Well, and even as you were talking about truth and grace, that reminded me, in a sermon recently, I asked people to raise their hands. Which would you, you know, which is harder for you, or which would you tend to do more? Do you tend to just say what needs to be said, or do you tend to not maybe say something that's true because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings? And I think it's a good rule of thumb that if my, and personally, my default is telling the truth, maybe unintentionally hurting people, but just being a little too strong on the truth. I need to lean toward the grace side. But then there are others who really are just so gracious. They are afraid and they hedge the truth. And I think people wired like that need to lean toward the truth side. And but it is hard, you know. You're just saying people identifying as trans are saying, man, this is such a huge thing in my life. And the truth is, I don't know how hard it is, but Jesus does. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way, just as we are. And yet he didn't sin. And so you can go to Jesus and trust him and talk to him and know that Jesus really does understand what you're going through. And I think also we probably don't talk enough today about how hard it is and painful it is sometimes to follow God. I mean, there's a blessing and a joy in following Jesus, but sometimes it's hard. I mean, the cross was painful for Jesus. But hardness and pain in our Christian lives goes beyond the pain of persecution or the pain that other people can cause us. It hurts to deny and resist our own desires. And Jesus talks about this in Luke 9:23. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. I mean, our culture says you need to embrace yourself. Jesus is just the opposite. He says, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. And so can you take up your cross? Can you trust God with your pain? Can you deny yourself and what you want and follow what God wants? Or do you know better than God? Do you believe in the beginning, Bob created the heavens and the earth? You know, in the beginning, Dino created the heavens and the earth. Either God is the creator and knows better than me, or I am God and know better than him. And Genesis 1:27 says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Everyone's made in God's image, including those who identify as trans and are therefore of unimaginable value. But God created every human, male and female. And that's so important. Many who struggle with their genders, I think, can relate to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Notice Paul isn't saying that he was conceited. This is not punishment for any sin in his life. It's preventative medicine to make him more like Jesus. And when Paul says, I was given a thorn in my flesh to torment me, this is like he was an expert on torment. He was abused and tortured by professionals over a half dozen times in his life, whipped 39 times on 5 different occasions, beaten with rods 3 times, almost stoned to death. He knew torment, and he says this was torment. And so what's God's response to him saying, God, take away this thorn that's tormenting me? It says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. That just blows my mind. I mean, this is Paul. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. He was tortured for Jesus. He gave everything. And God tells him no? How dare he? Paul recognizes God knows more than I do. God loves me more than I love me. And Paul accepts living with this thorn for the rest of his life. And he says, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God may deliver you from gender dysphoria and just make it go away and make you totally comfortable in your own skin with your own sexuality. But maybe he, and you still, though, have to live for God in that brokenness, in that pain, in that trial. Because I've noticed that the people God uses the most are not the perfect people that have it all together. It's the ex-convicts. It's the ex-porn users, the broken, hurting people. That's who God uses. And we can trust him, whether he delivers us or whether, like Paul, he says, no, you're going to have to live with this, but I'll be with you in it.
Pastor Bob, that was excellent. Our time is up here, and what we're going to do is we'll put this into another program because there's a lot more we want to talk about here. Could you, in 15 seconds, if you could, just put a wrap on this?
Well, I think one of the wraps is a takeaway for us. Recently, I asked in my church, do we want trans people in church? And my church isn't super interactional. Like, they don't talk back to me much, but I was pleasantly encouraged. Dozens of people shouting out, absolutely, yes! You know, where else would we want a transgender person to be? What could be a better place than church? We need to love and welcome and not be threatened or afraid of those who are struggling with their identity. We need to embrace them with the love of Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus would do.
Thank you, Pastor Bob Kadlecic, with us today. And this is Dino Padron from Delray Beach, Florida, thanking you for listening in to Life Change Weekend. Have a blessed weekend.
Listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.